Good morning. It's Sunday, November 13th.
Yes, dear Father. Oh, we look to you, Lord. Now, more than any time, Lord, we need you. We need your guidance. We need your Spirit leading us. And we want your love poured out on us, Lord. That you can bring us to the place where we are bringing truth in love, Lord.
Amen.
Bringing truth in love. And just hold back that enemy, Lord, although sometimes you use him. So your will be done, Lord, but we still pray against him because he is the enemy. And we rebuke him in the name of our Lord Jesus, because that's what your word says to do. So, Lord, just continue to pour your Spirit out and bring us the Spirit of truth and let the Comforter, that Spirit, teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 It's been growing a little bit for a week or two or so, but the question I had this morning kind of in my spirit was, Lord, so if we're going to lead people to salvation, how much truth do they need? You know? I mean, because I know, and this only came right as I was here, because at first I thought I had a thing that was pretty laid out, but then it's like, you know, sometimes if people get touched by the Lord, their heart just wants to repent, and they want to come to him. And at that point, that's all they need, you know. So you do have to be careful that, you know, you don't want to, if somebody's ready to come to the Lord, you don't have to sit down and teach them everything first. You know, let's let them come to the Lord. But if you're speaking to maybe one or two or 10, 20, and they're, you know, then I don't know. This is a question I had, because it's like, to me, if the gospel is based on truth, then there's a true gospel. But what if only a partial gospel is being brought? So, you know, where do we fall in that? Because if you don't have the whole truth, can you really be saved? You know? Or if you don't have a love for the truth, you can't be saved, it says, you know. And so, I don't know. It's just a little bit that was on my heart a little bit after Friday was, I'm starting to feel a little burden, sort of, to want to present truth. But I have no idea where that goes or when it goes. But it's being put there, I feel. And it's not going to be, you know, no one brings everything the same, you know. But there's things that, like, the thing I keep going over in my spirit is, Lord, if we're to have the same mind and be of the same mind, and then the only one that, and people go, you know, like, I was thinking, well, if you said, the Holy Spirit can bring each person truth. You don't need to be taught by man necessarily at all. God will teach you. Oh, but how can that be? Because this person's going to hear that. No. If the Holy Spirit really does it, they'll be like-minded. And they'll be of one heart. And is that going to be everybody? No. You know? So, I mean, and since we've been listening and hearing God's word, I mean, truth is everything, along with love. You know, love is, I mean, but truth is.
Maybe love is the message that you need to bring. The message of truth is love.
And that is true. That's very good.
If you're looking to lead someone to salvation, then you're thinking about what message do I need to give to them for it to be received. Love seems to be a pretty clear avenue. The message of love and how much the Father loves seems like a good ace in your pocket.
Yeah, no. And I know we were relating back to years ago in this church when there was a powerful move, and I tasted of that love, you know, and I have never forgot it, but I sure want to start having that. I don't want to just have that. I want to have what's for now, you know, what God wants to give, you know, and how much He wants to give of His love, because that was only a taste of it. But it was a tremendous thing, because I would look at people and there was no judgment. I'd look at ones that I never would probably associate with, and I loved them, you know, at that time. But that was God put that love there. And so, and I'm still really lacking in love, you know. I'm quite a ways from what that was back then, but then that was from God. You know, and so you can, to me, I can only develop so much love within myself, but that's not going to be enough for what's going to have to come, you know. And so I'm praying for that all the time, you know. And I'm starting to pray, Lord, how do you want to use me, you know. And I don't know, there's a tricky part too. It's like, you know, you can bring a message because of grace and mercy from God, and He'll anoint you. But there's also this thing where, like, but if I have this thing that I think is between Him and I need to deal with it before I think He can be really effective, you know. Because it's kind of like it just keeps getting in the way, sort of, you know.
Amen.
And so that's, I'm dealing with that. And but just overnight this morning, I just started thinking about it. You know, it's hard because not everybody maybe wants to hear the truth, really. I mean, some get so set in their way, they don't want to hear anything else but what they believe. And you know what? I'm not going to get in an argument with them, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to change them. Myself, anyway. It's not me. It's God. So, but I know there's ones out there that their heart is for God, and they want God's truth. I don't think they've been told enough yet that God has truth, and it's really important, you know. My word is truth, and His word is eternal. So how important is it, you know? So, you know, and but there's lots of slippery roads there, and how to bring that, you know, because, and I'm going to prepare myself. I don't need the praises of men. I don't. That doesn't mean I want to go out and just bash every Christian, you know. No. But I'm not going to worry about if somebody doesn't like it, doesn't want to hear it, because I know there's ones that do want to hear it, and that God wants them to hear it, you know. And so, and it's like, that isn't just for salvation. That's for a whole lot of people out there that have been like we were before we got started. From grace and mercy, for sure, started showing us truth, you know. And He led us, so, you know, it was just like He put these little niblets out there that we kept taking them, and pretty soon, boom, 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 you know, and His word really started to open up as long as we stayed as little children and asked Him, you know. That was the biggest decision I ever made was, I remember I was back there and He was making, and I said, God, okay, I'm starting over. I don't know anything. I want you to teach me. And that's where it went. And yes, there were some things that I knew that fell into place somewhat. But man, what happened after that, it's like crazy. You know, it's little things that we just don't see until He reveals them. And but that's for anybody can have that. It's not for somebody to be able to stand up and lead everybody because they're getting it. You know, it's every man shall be taught by God. Well, how does that happen? By His Holy Spirit. You know? And so, I mean, that should always, I feel, if I'm going to share anything, that I always want that to be the thread. Anybody can be taught by God. It isn't the one that's sharing it right now. That's one of them He taught. You can hear Him and go to the Word, and if it lines up, you can be one. You know? So So, anyway, that's just what's kind of been on my heart the last week or so.
Do you love all of us?
Sure.
Then that's all that matters to you.
Yeah, do you can. You know what?
You can work on everyone else, Ken.
I don't love you like I should, though, I'll tell you that. I really don't. But I know I said and kind of made a proclamation before the Lord that if this is the body of Christ, and that's the most important body I need to know. I mean anybody.
Right.
The true body of Christ is the most important thing that we should be willing to die for one another. You know? And it's, you know what? It's a tough thing to say, but, and it doesn't mean I don't want them, but it's more important than my own family in the flesh. It really is. That's hard, you know? But I've been also starting to pray more for them, too, which I haven't been doing. So, you know, and as I was sitting here thinking of that, I thought, yeah, now why is the devil all of a sudden really coming at a lot of people? Mm-hmm. And we know from the past, somehow he gets a little inkling sometimes before we do, for some report. He sees the signs before we do that God's going to do something.
That's right.
You know? And, you know, one of the scriptures that really hit me that I just, and I go, see, if people would, if they're open and they hear these scriptures, and it's so important, because if you don't start out by who God is, how are you going to know him? You know? And how are you going to know Jesus Christ if you don't find out who he is, truly who he is? So in 1 Corinthians 8, and it's, I don't know why it comes after this, but I'm going to start in verse 4. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. Okay, one God. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, and there are. People make gods, make lords. I mean, they did it during the Old Testament all the time, you know. Yet, for us, there is one God, the Father. And that's it. It ends. Mm-hmm. Right? That's who God is.
Yes.
One God, of whom are all things, and we for him. And there's one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live, which is so true. I mean, we would be nothing if he had not sent his son, which he knew, foreordained, you know. He knew he was going to have a son. So everything comes through the son. That's why people go on when they hear, when the world and the earth. Yeah, it didn't mean Christ was there creating. It meant God knew when he created all this, it was for his son to redeem everyone and to bring the ones from even the Old Testament forward into salvation. So, you know, but I didn't know all that until the Holy Spirit was revealing it. And the thing is, you know, they might say, well, yeah, you guys all think alike because you or he's your buddy and you want to believe what he says, and so you want to stick together. No, we didn't. That didn't happen at all. I mean, we were never, like, for years now, which I don't know if it's a sad thing or a good thing, we weren't really fellowshipping. You know, we weren't spending gobs of time during the week with each other and everything. But when we come to church, someone would share something, and then someone would go, you know, I've seen that too. Or as they read it, they go, I can see that now. You know? So that's by the Lord. That's by the Holy Spirit. Nobody was, like, going to somebody's house and say, here's what we got to try and believe and convince so-and-so so we all are in like agreement. You know, there's none of that going on.
Not here, but there is a lot of places in the Bible.
Yeah?
How many places in the Bible are there? Like, if they believe this guy, they're the truth. They're not going to believe us. We got to tell this.
Yeah, true. Very much. Very much. Yeah, the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. And whoever. So anyway, and then, you know, when you read that, and then you go up and you read that. Now, what other conclusion can you come to but that there's one God and there's the one man, Jesus Christ, who is the mediator between God and man? But this is saying it after he's resurrected. The man, Christ Jesus. Glorified, yes. That's what makes him different than us right now. But we're to be just like him in the end. So we'll all be glorified. You know? And that's the other thing. People say, oh, no, he was a God. No. Everything that it says about Christ, God wants you to become. You know? Now, we get there in a different way, obviously, because we haven't been able to walk sinless, you know. But we get grace and mercy because we can confess our sins whenever we want, every day, every hour, and God hears it and wipes it. So, you know, it's. Well, I'll stop.
It's good. You know, one thought came to me while Ken was sharing. It's an uncomfortable truth, but how many people are sitting in church today and they're not hearing truth? But they're in church, so therefore they think they're doing good, but they're not hearing truth. Because sometimes the truth isn't easy. You know, and what Ken shared was, a little child, which is one of the really big. I have kind of this mental list of like revelation God has given us over the last 20 odd years. And that's probably in the top five. But I keep coming back to the first one is we need to repent of our sins. Nothing happens. God can't reach you if you can't admit you're a sinner. And once you admit that you're a sinner, then you can open up to God, can start to reach you and say, okay. So you're here and you need to go up, not I'm here and I'm fine. You know, and I'm looking around at everybody else, and they need to fix their sin. And once they do, then we can have a conversation because I'm good. As soon as you're good, we can really connect on a good level, you know? No, I mean, we have to start out with, I'm a sinner, and I need help. And God says, okay, your heart is open, and now things can happen. And I think that is so important. And once your heart is open, that creates the pathway where God can let you start to receive and share God's love to one another. And you can't do that until you get your heart vulnerable. And to admit that you're a sinner, and admit you still have a sinner, admit that this is a problem area, I think is one of the surest ways to make yourself vulnerable and make yourself open to what God can do. Mm-hmm. And so if you could say and you humble yourself and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I don't want this in my life and I'm battling against it and I might be losing that battle. You know, help me so I stop losing this battle and give it over to Him to let Him, you know. And we have lots of reminders about how this has to happen. The iconic two sets of footprints in the sand and all of a sudden there's one. And, you know, the captain goes, I started carrying you because you weren't able to walk anymore. You know, God is carrying you to get you where you need to be. And so you kind of go, oh, you mean I'm not doing this myself? Oh, that's good to know. And it's good to, you know, it's important. And then one last comment to what Ken was saying was, you know, I struggle with this all the time. It's so easy to talk to someone who just gave their heart to the Lord because they're on fire and they're excited and they want to know more and they're a sponge. They're like, I don't know anything. I want to know more because this is so wonderful. I want as much as I can. Versus talking to someone who's been a born-again, non-denominational, charismatic Christian who knows that the Trinity is truth. And you go, well, they've had 40 years to build up that belief. And you go, you got to go, well, you know, I ain't going to fix this. I myself in the flesh am not going to fix this. So you share truth in love, and then, you know, I'm kind of like lobbing a little truth grenade in there and with all the love I can muster and say, this is truth. God's going to have to break down that wall. they will receive or not receive it, but not because of me. You know, all Jesus did was tell people the way. He didn't hang around lamenting those that didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his job was to tell them. Whether they got it or not, that was on them. Our job here, to an extent, is to share the truth. And share it in a way that we don't turn people off, which is where I think Canada's coming from. You don't pound someone with the truth. We were pretty good pounders back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we knew truth. We had truth. We had truth you didn't have, and by golly, if you stood here long enough, you too would get the truth that we have, because we're going to give it to you. And if you don't get this truth, then you can get out, because we don't have time for you if you don't get our truth. Not a lot of love in sharing God that way, you know? So the reason we're chatting about it is because we're literally crying before the Lord. Father, if you give us a little bit more direction as to how this is going to be, you've given us all of these insights and truths into your word, and we have them, and we just don't want to sit on it. We don't want to be not doing what you want or expect us to do. We're going, yeah, it's like a little bit better map. Could you give me just a little, show me a little more light, because I want to do this in the way you want me to do it. And I don't know that with great clarity yet.
I was glad, Pablo, you touched on the little child aspect Friday night.
Amen.
Yeah, that's always a good thing to bring up, because most of the church doesn't feel like, you know, they just go over that because, well, I'm not a child anymore. Well, it's not where that's coming from, what age you are. You know, it's the concept of it. And you explained it very well. So
a constant. It's got to be a constant.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what a lot of good seasoned Christians do, is that they are set in their ways. You know, I'm talking from personal experience. What could somebody have, what could I hear, I know, but it's a like a child. We're supposed to daily trust. We're supposed to daily believe. We're supposed to daily soak in the new things that the Father is telling us. Daily.
Amen.
Because as soon as we are settled in our mud pile, we're settled in our mud pile.
As soon as we got it, we're in trouble.
Right, right.
It's an unfolding revelation.
Yes.
So when does the unfolding stop?
It's got to be good.
Exactly.
It can't, and that's the problem. That is the problem with most good Christians. They're now just living their daily, asking the Lord for what they have need of, and then maybe they remember to thank Him for the good things. But it's good, you know, it's just, Lord, I need this, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And, you know, Pablo and I have been talking, we sing a song, Magnify the Lord with me, and glorify, and we sing it up and down the street, and we hold hands, and we pray, and then all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord comes over, and He has to stop, or He'll fall in the middle of the road, and I hold His hand, and it's just fun. But we sing the song, and he was reading, Corinthians or something, about glorifying the Lord, so he's been telling the kids. In every single thing you do, glorify the Lord. Glorify the Lord while you walk up down the steps. Glorify the Lord while you do the laundry. Glorify the Lord while you drive. Glorify, you know, to be a constant thing. Because you know what's really annoying in a relationship? And quirky, I know you're going to laugh and I don't care, but is when only one person's doing most of the talking. So most Christians, dear Lord, I need this, I need this, I need help for this, I need blah, blah, blah. You know, He's provided everything we need in here. There isn't something more. It's not like there's a secret. This is here. But Lord, I need good. There you go. But Lord, quick, right there. But Lord, I need the answer. Right there. There's nothing more than this. There's no
right.
things He's withholding from you.
Nope.
You don't have to try and dial into a different connection. It's in here. But people, I know, you spent your life as you live. You live kind of lukewarm, and you are the Lord, but you're, Lord, okay, Lord, I need the Lord. Instead of, how about, thank you for all of this. I love all of this. I trust you in all this. So that we can be open, because if you're, you know, I know a lot of people, actually, I don't have a word, but that aren't Christians, but they're good people, and they say, well, I believe in God, and I pray at night, you know, and I pray. I did too, but shut up for a second, and I'll let him speak too, right here, you know, and so it's, you can't have a one-sided conversation. And that's what a lot of Christians do. It's they just live their life and they hear a few scriptures here and there. And then they literally, it's what can God do for you? Well, how about what do you do for him? What are you doing for him?
You know, they don't, their cop-out is, they don't go there because I've got this guy telling me what I need to know. You know?
A quick interjection. Pablo, the young couple was here in Pablo's first message. A young couple that worked with them through Tayo, and they're just the sweetest. And when they got married, it was very important that Pablo come to their wedding. So we went there 2 years ago to their wedding, and the dad, he's a really good Lutheran. And he, it was so funny, Pablo had a really good talk with him, but he, at the end, he was, Pablo was sharing some scripture with him, you know, whatever. And he was like, Pablo, you know, it's really good to hear that from you. And he's like, you know what? He goes, I'm a busy guy. So he says, I don't have time to read the Bible. But he says, look at this, Pablo. And he scrolls through his phone and he says, I have like 20 different preachers in here that tap, tap, tap. He goes, I just hear what they have to say, and if I have any questions, I just am able to text them and whatever. He says, I have 20 knowledgeable that went to seminary, whatever they do.
Yeah.
And he says, I've got 20 at my fingertips that I can tap. And he says, because I'm a busy guy, he goes, I don't have time to read the Bible. And he goes, when I do, I can't understand anything. He goes, so look, Pablo, he was trying to impress Pablo. But these 20 preachers that he had in his thing. And Pablo was like,
boy.
You know, and,
you know.
But we can't fault him. That is.
Yeah.
And he really feels that he says, I'm a busy guy. I work a lot. I own my own, who knows what. But he says, look, I got all these guys that, he says, so I can just rely on, he goes, they study. They went to college to learn this stuff. So they're able to decipher that. Oh, but he was the sweetest man. Yeah. That's how he worked. And it blew us away later that we were like, somebody.
That thing that people say, you know, I try to read the Bible, but I can't understand it. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. They're making it up. They never. It's not because they never read it. Mm-hmm. What is there to not understand? read anything to me. What's the mystery? What are you not understanding? So Jesus walked to the multitudes and he said there, like, what are you not understanding? When somebody when somebody says, you know what, I read it, but I don't understand it, you're not reading it, period.
Not reading it enough.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and you got, but there's a lot of little things in there. I mean, because if you're not really open to hear what's there or read what's there, mm-hmm. then yeah, you won't understand it.
No, but in the majority, it's understandable, not through the spirit, maybe, but.
That's the tricky part. Yeah, there's understandable things there in the flesh to a degree, but then that's where people start becoming, you know, legalistic, because they just try to live by what the rule is, not by what the, you know, the spirit of it is, you know, that you love the Lord with all your heart. So, you know, like that Lutheran, if he could get the revelation that he could pop a tape in his car when he's driving everywhere, that he's so busy and just be listening.
He said he didn't go to college. He said, I can't even understand. He said, Pablo, I can't understand. He says, these guys went to, I don't know, what like the seminary? Or
seminaries.
He
yeah.
says, and he says, so they got skill on understanding, you know. All, and I was just standing there like, I remember when we walked away, I thought, I didn't know that anybody, but he's just one of how many.
Yeah.
And he was so proud because he said, I've got 20 people at my fingertips.
And it's all trying to learn it with the natural way.
And I bet if you get those 20 people in one room and quote 7 scriptures and ask them, they wouldn't agree.
Nope.
Do you know what I mean?
Great.
And so yeah. I was like, oh no, how confusing.
Well, that goes back to one of the revelations that God has given us. You know, smart people are no more likely than not smart people, and I say smart in the world's perception, no more likely to make it to heaven than the not so smart people. And the problem with that individual is he's decided that he's not smart enough and he's going to put his trust in other smart people, not put his trust in God. And that's a tough one. That doesn't come easy. I wanted to follow up on what Ken opened with, because it was interesting. 1 Corinthians 8:6, you know, but then I wanted to read 8:7. Yeah, so I'll read it again. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him, which is good. But the next verse and I'm going to read the Amplified, because it's just, however, not all believers have this knowledge. And that's kind of what we're saying. People don't have this knowledge. They have the knowledge of the Trinity. They don't have the knowledge of one God. But some, being accustomed throughout their lives to thinking of, and it goes on back to the idols until now, as the real living, still eat the food as if it was sacrificed to an idol. And because their conscience is weak, it is defiled. So, you know, to me, what that is saying is, if you're not careful and someone has told you over and over and over and over this deception, you begin to take that deception as truth because you've heard it so often, instead of seeking God and letting God tell you, oh, that's, you know, that's not true. And it's interesting, the scripture says, you know, there's one God and there is a Son. And how is it that so many people don't have that knowledge? I mean, there it is. And it's not a real deep spiritual read. I mean, the Spirit didn't reveal that. I mean, that's in pretty much a letter. And then it goes on to say, why don't people know this? Well, it's kind of like us. We knew a lot of things. We read and watched scriptures. But until the Spirit really gets in there and helps you say, like, you know, hey, this isn't saying this, it's saying this. And the scales come off, your eyes open up, your heart opens up, and all of a sudden, there's this truth that's been kind of just staring in the face, and you didn't recognize it. So it's common, even according to Scripture, that people who have got good hearts or well-intentioned and, you know, go to church, don't have this knowledge. Because people they trust aren't telling them this, and when they read it, they're not dwelling on it enough to let the Spirit tell me, you know, we're missing something here. Yet it's as you said, Katie, it's right here.
You know what? And I'm telling you, if we took 1,000 Bibles to some country that literally had never heard, I mean, there is people still, you know, literally never heard, and give 1,000 Bibles, here, read this, I'll be back in 1 year. No leader, just 1,000 little kids and a 90-year-old. We'll be back in a year. Have some questions. When you come back in a year, ask them. Who is Jesus? Who is God? They'll come up with that. Because a man hasn't known any difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because from Genesis to Revelation, you can't come up with anything else. Unless you make it almost as if like a witchcraft, you have to really twist your brain to try and believe other than that.
I was chuckling as you were saying, it's right here. It's right here. And I go, well, where's that secret chapter of the Trinity? Because it's not in there.
But that's what I'm saying.
Secret, we didn't put it in there, so you'd have to kind of just put it out of thin air.
It was probably in the Catholic Book of Knowledge or whatever.
You know, I actually read that book, and it's not in there either. But I did laugh. I told someone once, of all the books to leave out, how could you leave out the Book of Knowledge?
And,
that's the one that really grabbed me.
I was mentioning, I found this the pamphlet that we had gotten way back from, and it was, God and Man, I think, or something. And, you know, the guy presents it, and it's he just, like, there's no argument because it's true. But when he's saying it, he goes, you know, from when the church really was until maybe 100 years later, there was one God, and there was His Son, Jesus Christ. There was no Trinity. It got diluted later. But no historian, these guys that say they're scholars, they don't want to go back and find that out. You know, they only want to go back to the Nicene Creed, which the church stated because that's the truth. There's, you know, and that's where the Trinity developed, was when they were having those meetings, you know. And so it's like, yeah, and it just registered with me. Yeah, because there's nothing in the Bible that says different, you know. So, but, you know, you have to, it has to be brought to love.
I think that when I get to heaven, I don't know, God is spirit. God is the spirit. He is everything. I don't know how that will work, and I don't really care. But I know that when I hear the trumpet and when I see Jesus face to face, I'm going to see Jesus as he is, and I'm going to see those nail prints in his hands and his feet. And it says that he's at the right hand of God. So I know that I get that. And so in my mind, he was here, he's there, he's everywhere. But I firmly believe, probably when I talk a lot about this, but I firmly believe that people that don't, that believe that it's all one thing, and then God humbled himself and came down and made himself a baby. I heard that recently. God humbled himself and came down as a baby and roamed the earth as a man. He humbled himself. Okay, first of all, that takes a lot of twists in my head. Like I said, 1,000 Bibles to a whole bunch of people that never heard from that and say, now, explain. They would say, God and Jesus, okay, there was spirit together, but Jesus was a baby. God wasn't, oh, I recently heard, yes, that God allowed himself to be a human and roam the earth for 33 years. So then what? If he was over here, whatever, he wasn't watching all the people over there then. Then he left his position. Okay, so anyways, I could go on forever about this, but I believe, and when we were talking about this yesterday, now, you know what it says about the Antichrist? It's already there. Antichrist is those that do not believe that Jesus came in the flesh.
Right.
Now, my whole life, Antichrist was the end time singing, and that they're going to come and 666, and you know all that. But the Antichrist is those that do not believe that Jesus came in the flesh, as a baby in the flesh. And you know what? I have to say this, and I know I'm being recorded, and I don't care. But God did not die on the cross.
Yes, amen, for sure. He didn't.
God did not die on the cross. Jesus did. Now, then I was going to share that the other day on Facebook. And then I'm like, nope, I'm not. But God did not die on the cross. Because then that means for a few minutes, he wasn't taking care of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I get to heaven, I'm going to see Jesus. And I think that a lot of people, without realizing it, they are anti-Christ because they believe that that was God doing his thing and whatever. So therefore, they can't develop that deep relationship with who Jesus is. And then they don't give, they can't even feel how amazing Jesus is.
Yeah.
I mean, I have laid on my floor and sobbed many times, especially in the last 7 months. And I just feel the presence of, and I pray, Jesus, I'm praying to you. God, I'm praying to you. Whatever, it's your job, do that. And just feel the presence. But I have to understand who Jesus is so that I'm not anti-Jesus.
Right.
And I believe that a lot of Christians, without realizing it, they are anti-Christ because they believe that God left who he was to humble himself. That's a sad thing because now you don't have the ability to grasp Jesus and God. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you lose the Jesus died for your salvation. God didn't die for your salvation.
No.
God created you. God did all of these things. You know, and so, and I never say, Jesus, thank you for creating me. God, thank you for creating me. God, I trust you with my dad. I trust you with my husband. I trust you. Thank you for creating my husband. I thank you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you. By your stripes, Jesus, you're going to heal Pablo. God created Pablo, and by Jesus' stripes, he sent his son. Do you know what I mean? And it makes me sad. I feel probably that there's a lot of people that are losing out because they don't, you get both.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit. The
whole thing, why I was started when I did this morning is the fact that they don't know that. And you know, but the biggest key is something you mentioned, and I was going to bring it up if I got a chance, but John 4, I think it's 5. God is spirit. Now you got to sit and dwell on that and let that sink in. He's spirit. He can't be flesh. He's a spirit. No, he's not a spirit. He is spirit. And so when you get that to settle in, that wipes out all this stuff of walking as a man on earth and everything else. But what he is what he is to any of you, if you're, you know, if you're saying this to whoever. If you've been born again, then God's spirit is in you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you aren't God, and Jesus wasn't God, but he had the fullness of God dwelling in him, which we should strive for, because one of the places, I think it's Peter, says that you might have the fullness of God. Well, that says it's for us too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's going to be in degrees probably, or who knows when, you know. But that thing, God is spirit, just wipes out all this natural thinking. And you can't think like God for one, so, you know.
But Jesus doesn't know when he's returning.
No,
but
he doesn't know. He should have been with God. Yeah.
Who did he cry out that he felt forsaken to? Himself?
Right, yeah. I know, all that stuff.
I can't.
There is no should with God. He does know. There's no he should know. He does know.
Yeah.
he should know. No, God knows.
Yeah.
So.
I can't. I just can't. And I feel bad because I feel then that people, you lose out on the depth of who Jesus is and the consuming depth of God and what God did and he created and all that. But then Jesus is placed in Jesus. He felt this.
Yeah.
He felt that. This hurts, and he. There's so many things that I can only say what my father gives me. Well, why not? I can only say what I gave myself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And in that, I just feel that it. I feel so blessed inside of being able to grasp. I don't know. I just want a deep relationship with Jesus. God created me.
Yes,
he created me.
Two quick things. If Jesus is not flesh, then he stops becoming the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Because a God being perfect is like everyday business. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, to some of the anguish you're feeling, is the good thing is, if those people who don't understand this, how quickly God can give them that revelation,
mm-hmm.
and they can go from, oh, I see this deception, to I now see this truth. Because a lot of us didn't see this exactly as clearly as we do now. And it didn't take long. Once one of us saw it a little bit, we all saw it. Because we could make it line up with Scripture so quickly.
Yeah, and something I told my dad 20 years ago, whatever it was, I told him, I said, do you know, my entire life, I had never believed any different than I do right now about Jesus and God. So, in all my hundreds of servants that I sat in that front pew, I must not have been paying attention to something while I was coloring or pushing cars across the floor to Jackie, who would push these little toy box cars or whatever. I have never believed anything different because this big revelation, it didn't even hit me. I told my dad, I'm like, man, good thing it was like this because if I would have died when I was 12 or 25, that was my belief. Because I thought, you know, we never really talked a lot about like what our doctrine was. I mean, I was young, but I thought that the Trinity the Trinitarians believed that blah, 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 the three in one, you know, and that we were oneness, right? We were oneness. God, mm-hmm. we were oneness. So do you know what I grew up believing and I guess not paying attention to anything else? Oneness was there is one God and there is one Jesus and there is Holy Spirit. Everything is one. They are never the same thing because that's what the Trinitarians believe. So in this big thing, I'm like, what? That's what I always believe. So it's really clear to me because I guess I never paid attention that there was something else that was brewing with. I thought that that's what oneness was.
One little thing there, though, I think, I don't think you want to make the Holy Spirit separate.
No, but I'm saying when they say the three in one,
because God's Spirit is God's Spirit, and He can manifest it in all kinds of ways.
Yes.
You know, I was going to bring up real quick. See, this is why, and I'm not going to say names or anything, this is why if you are thinking of being baptized, that you have to know Jesus Christ and have given your heart so that when you're baptized, you can go down and die like He did and then be resurrected when you come back out of the water, because that's what you're doing. You're dying to yourself. Mm-hmm. You're giving yourself over to the Lord. And that's what the baptism is to be. You know, and that's you outwardly saying, yes, I want to do this. This is what I'm committed to. You know, and I'm... So that's why it's important to know who God is and to know who Jesus Christ is, and that you confess at some point, whenever, that you want to be forgiven and be born again, and then God from above makes you a brand new person. You know? He makes you a spiritual person from heaven. So when Jesus says, well, I came from heaven, da da da, you know what? If we're born again, we've come from heaven.
Amen.
Also. Because the Father, same one that overshadowed Mary and made us see the baby, overshadows you when you're born again and makes you that same family. You know, so that's one of the big reasons why people, millions, me, the first time I was baptized, had no concept of what was going on. You know, did it again, and I actually might have did it three times, I'm not sure, but anyway.
You're good then.
I'll baptize you again just for good measure.
Three's a good number.
So, but you got to have an understanding of what you're going through, because that's what makes it bona fide. That's what seals you with Christ and with God. You know, because you're identifying with Christ dying, buried, and resurrected. You know, so.
You know, Jesus became vulnerable. Jesus was a man like us, okay?
Yeah.
And he was vulnerable. He had pain. He had, you know, sufferings. He felt sad if people didn't listen to him. I mean, so Jesus had all those things. And when somebody makes God the Almighty One that said, let there be light, when you make that the same, you're taking away the greatness of God.
Right.
Because God didn't make himself, you know, man, flesh.
I think that takes away the greatness of Jesus more so than takes away the greatness of God.
It does.
God could do any little piddly thing he wanted to.
It does, but I think that then people are like, well, God humbled himself. And then all of a sudden, God doesn't seem so amazing and strong and mighty because he made himself kind of a weak human. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it takes
but
both.
It's both ways.
Right.
To me, if you're making Jesus God, I think you get close to blaspheming God, because he says, I will have no other gods beside me, you know?
And I just think it makes him look weak.
Yeah.
It takes a...
Right.
Why? He's still creating something, and he is the only thing that can do that.
I'm not saying it makes him look weak. I'm saying in somebody's mind, they can't... it's like... God was so powerful, but yet he made himself vulnerable, and then he came down, and then he rode around in Mary's belly for 9 months, and then what was he doing? And so he was able to do all these things, and then he talked to himself a lot, because if they're the same in the Bible, there's a lot of talking to yourself. Like, you know, and then God is so powerful to do everything. He spoke everything into existence. And he created man, and then he created, like Pablo said Friday, us wonderful, beautiful women. And so he did all that amazingness, but yet he became very vulnerable and had to die on the cross himself. You know, I just think that whatever people take away from either thing, they're losing that depth with each one. You know?
It is important to not minimize who Jesus is or who God is. And I think the revelations that we have been getting and continue to get are helping us to avoid that trap.
I just wanted to say a little thing, but you guys never got told. So I want to tell you about another church.
Well, we gave you an hour of Friday.
That's true.
Yeah, you had your.
Yeah, I know.
Now Ken took his 25 this morning.
Yeah.
No, not very long. I just, I forgot now.
Oh, no.
I just wanted to touch on something Ken said at the beginning. You were saying, Ken, I lack on this. You know, the Bible nowhere says, and it's, you don't want to stay lacking. But in the other hand, take it as a blessing. Because some people don't know they're lacking.
It keeps you humble.
Yes, but see, before I didn't know that I needed to be humble.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you know why I didn't remember what
forgive,
happened. I didn't know I needed to forgive. So it's good that God shows you, hey, you're a mess. And in fact that is
like it.
I'm a mess, Lord, and help me.
There's a scripture that says you say you are rich and you say you are good as you are. And the truth is that you're poor and you're miserable. And you know what? And God showed me. So thinking you're doing so good is, see, the devil, he's not just the devil, he's good at it.
Oh, yeah.
He's top notch.
Yeah.
There's no better than the devil at deceiving you. There's no better, period. He's that good.
Amen.
I gotta tell you something that I realized a couple of days ago. I was deceived. I needed to repent for repent for not being humble. Okay, it's fine. God changed me. He made me humble. I didn't even ask for it. Okay, good. So now I'm gonna feel good, but you know what? I needed to repent for not being humble. Because this is not just a thing that you, no. God requires you to be humble. He wants you to be humble. He needs you to be humble. You know what I mean? So, a couple of other things. what other things?
Love
and forgiving. Anyways, it is good. Take it as a blessing that you know that there's an issue that needs to be worked at.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not a blessing to stay there. You want to work. Now you work on it.
Yeah.
But it's a blessing. It's a good thing to know that there's an issue and work on it. And you know what? And knowing that there's work, that you need room for improvement, it kind of says you will be improved.
No,
you know what I mean? If you didn't know, you will. So just dwell on that and know that God is showing you, because God, He knows that it will be over. That's it.
I was just gonna say, you guys have been talking the whole time. So yeah, I know. So I like Pablo have wanted to say something all along, but
I don't want to say anything. I want to let you know I have to leave in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I'm not going to say anything because it's over. It's over. So I turned on Facebook. That's where I was at. I'm going to just see what's happening. truly, what comes up? Rather than putting Christ back in Christmas, I settle for putting Christ back in Christians.
Yeah.
That's what I gave up. So, there.
You know, and about knowing that there's things you're lacking, whatever, since some of us don't have a job anymore, so we don't have a set schedule, so we have a, I don't want to say a lot of free time, because we don't, but we do a lot of praying, singing, worshiping, the Bible, because it's like all we have, and if we don't stay, I told him, if we don't keep, like Peter, we're gonna grow. So we, like never before, but in that every day, I ask the Lord, Lord, what more do you want me to learn? What more do you want to teach me? What more do you need to remove from me? What more do you need to add to me? What, you know what I mean? And staying in that constant thing, he'll do it.
Yeah.
If he asks,
great.
If you ask the Lord to renew your mind about an idol called food, he didn't duct tape your mouth. He did not shut the refrigerator off. He changed your brain through a stroke. He allowed that. That would be amazing.
You know, there's something that
so if you ask the Lord, you better expect it to be done his way.
There's something that I might bring in on my next, what I do. It's like you know, okay, Papa, so you're going to pray for us. But Papa, you have an issue. You have a pain and you have a whatever. So how are you qualified to pray when your prayers, you know, are not being answered? Jesus, the Son of God, is no better than Jesus. Nobody. He, when he was dying, he gave eternal life to the thief on the cross. He's dying. He's bleeding out. He's probably almost out of blood. He's going to die in the next few breaths. And still in his deathbed, in his dead cross, he's giving eternal life.
Yeah.
So if Jesus can give someone eternal life in his almost death, I can pray. I can pray for whoever, even though I have an issue, an unhealed thing. And this non-healing is a non-healing. You know what? It's a yes healing. I've gone from zero to a million. But there's still an issue. It's not that I'm not healing, it's just, the work is not finished.
Well, if we waited for the perfect person to pray for
right.
us, nobody would ever
right.
get any prayer.
Yeah,
but I just
and
wanted to.
And it's not us; it's the Jesus, and he takes any vessel. That you know, kind of look at Jerome Wiginius.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, drop dead,
right.
come
yeah.
back. You know, prays for people. I
right.
mean, and he had cancer. I mean, yeah. So, no, I mean, if we waited for perfect,
right.
nobody would get prayer.
Yeah, he shared about, what's his name, raising a bunch from the dead. That he was praying for people. Yeah, that he was praying for people, and he had like 100
yeah.
kidney stones.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Painfully.
With
painfully.
Yeah.
I've had kidney stones, and I was literally doing an alligator roll on the floor.
Yeah.
I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've done that, bro. Anything else? We love you all.